You found the Viceroy Great Books Podcast. Welcome. We think Christian men of all flavors can pull insights from historical writers about how to govern more and govern well, so the king gets max glory. To start, we will explore Marcus Aurelius' Meditations. Now, he was a pagan emperor, Roman emperor. We know that. We know he was pagan, but that doesn't stop us. We think that there's some real treasure here. We'll follow that with the 15th century monk theologian Thomas Aquinas, The Imitation of Christ. We plan to chunk and chew it, bit by bit. sub-20-minute episodes. And your host, both of us, two old friends, will do our best to contextualize and make commentary about how it can apply to us today. We'd love it if you'd join us. You're welcome to more resources at theviceroyproject.com, where you can find out more about how to join the Viceroy community, where we meet together on an app. Take care. All right, so our listeners will remember that we are wrapping up book one of Marcus Aurelius's Meditations. And up to this point, we've been discussing all of the positive influences and negative influences and what he's determined to be the best parts and the things that he's learned from friends and from family, etc. And so today, we're going to look at episode six. This is what he learned from the gods. And so we're going to start with the emperor says, and then we'll kind of unpack it from there. Okay. So, to the gods I am indebted for having good grandfathers, good parents, a good sister, good teachers, good associates, good kinsmen and friends, nearly everything good. Further, I owe it to the gods that I am not hurried into any offense against any of them, though I had a disposition which, if opportunity had offered, might have led me to do something of this kind. But, through their favor, there never was such a concurrence of circumstances as put me to the trial. Further, I am thankful to the gods that I was not longer brought up with my grandfather's concubine. Pause. I, too, am glad I wasn't brought up with my grandfather's concubine.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, moving on. And that I preserved the flower of my youth, and that I did not make proof of my virility before the proper season, but even deferred the time.
Hold on, can I just pause?
Yeah, yes.
My translation just point blank says that I didn't lose my virginity too early and didn't enter adulthood until it was time.
Okay.
Put it off even.
Okay. I like my version better. It's so ornate.
Really something to preserve there.
Yeah, yeah. All right. The flower of my youth. That I was subjected to a ruler and father who was able to take away all pride from me and to bring me to the knowledge that it is possible for a man to live in a palace without wanting either guards or embroidered dresses or torches and statues and such like show, but that it is in such a man's power to bring himself very near to the fashion of a private person, without being for this reason either meaner in thought or more remiss in action with respect to the things which must be done for the public interest in a manner that befits a ruler. I thank the gods for giving me such a brother who is able by his moral character to rouse me to vigilance over myself, and who at the same time please me by his respect and affection, that my children have not been stupid nor deformed in body, that I did not make more proficiency in rhetoric, poetry, and the other studies, in which I should perhaps have been completely engaged, if I had seen that I was making progress in those things, that I made haste to place those who brought me up in the station of honor, which they seemed to desire, without putting them off with hope of my doing it some time after, because they were then still young. That I knew Apollonius, Rusticus, Maximus, that I received clear and frequent impressions about living according to nature, and what kind of life that is, so that so far as depends on the gods and their gifts and help and inspirations, nothing hindered me from forthwith living according to nature, though I still fall short of it through my own fault and through not observing the admonitions of the gods, and I may almost say their direct instructions, that my body has held out so long in such a kind of life that I never touched either Benedicta or Theodotus, and that, after having fallen into amatory passions, I was cured. And though I was often out of humor with Rusticus, I never did anything of which I had occasion to repent. That though it was my mother's fate to die young, she spent the last years of her life with me. That whenever I wished to help any man in his need or on any other occasion, I was never told that I had not the means of doing it. And that to myself the same necessity never happened, to receive anything from another. That I have such a wife, so obedient, so affectionate, so simple. That I had abundance of good masters for my children, and that remedies have been shown to me by dreams, both others, and against blood-spitting and giddiness. And that when I had an inclination to philosophy, I did not fall into the hands of the sophist. And that I did not waste my time on writers of histories, or in the resolution of syllogisms, or occupy myself about the investigation of appearances in the heavens. For all these things require the help of the gods and fortune. Among the Quadi and the Granua, all right, which I happen to know mean the German barbarians and the Slovakian barbarians.
There you go.
There you go. All right, so that's what the emperor says. Now, what jumped out at you besides the deflowering bit?
Ooh, yeah. I'm proud for him.
So, yes.
Let's just go ahead and kill the elephant in the room. How bizarre it is that he is thankful that my children weren't born stupid and physically deformed.
Right.
But also, I mean, that's a bizarre statement to make, but it does mean that they're not a liability, you know, that they actually can do things and achieve things. And
just,
it seems so bizarre. It's not something we would think to say.
Right.
I'm so glad.
Right. Like, it's not the sort of thing that I've ever said to anyone.
Right.
Although if you press me, would I be thankful? I'm thankful.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I've never heard you when I've been like, man, you know, that Liam, that Burke. I've never heard you be like, well, you know, he's not stupid.
Yeah.
He's got that going for him.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, we kind of acknowledge it like, hey, that guy, he's got sharp kids or they're, you know, good-looking family. Or they'll say things like that.
But
it is a weird thing to tease out.
So.
I think it's interesting that he constantly refers back to that which is done in accordance with nature. So this is one of those key Stoic pillars, which is whatever is natural is good. Mm-hmm. So there's like a sort of esteem for not fighting against or resisting these natural impulses and forces, and even referring to the gods as fortune, right, is, hey, there's these powers that work against me, and it's not necessarily determinism, because I know I probably have some decision-making in the process. I can work in accordance or out of accordance with nature, but also a lot is out of my hands.
That's right.
Yeah. The less than useful arts down here. He doesn't have a lot of good to say about rhetoric and poetry and other studies.
Well, and, you know, and there's a question about why is that? Like, why is he so concerned about, you know, that I wasn't more talented in rhetoric or poetry? Aurelius actually had a deep interest in rhetoric, but rhetoric was something that was taken over by the sophists, or we could even call some charlatans.
Right.
And as a man of the state, he was somebody who should have been more interested in, you know, kind of and philosophy that seeks the good, mm-hmm. not just the quippy turn of phrase, right?
Yes.
And so, he barks at rhetoric quite a bit, or even poetry. Like, that's just entertainment, mm-hmm. right? In his eyes, it's just entertainment. But
yeah, and in some ways, probably he was trained in the ideals of that Platonic philosopher king mm-hmm. model, which is you philosophize and you deploy rhetoric and oratory skills insofar as they accomplish.
That's right. Yeah.
There's a utility backing them.
Right. Not just rhetoric for rhetoric's sake.
Right. Yep. He has nice things to say about his wife.
Yeah, so one of the things that I like about this section, which, you know, this whole book one is really nice, going back, counting the blessings, naming the names, mm-hmm. saying who's been instrumental in my life, what's been instrumental in my life. But when he comes to the gods, he lists out, you know, again, he lists these people that he's already mentioned so far, but he says they're a gift from the gods to me. They are a gift of providence. Mm-hmm. As we're going to see in book two, he does say, he makes the case that the gods have given us everything that we need to live a good life, mm-hmm. right? Again, this is part of, kind of relying on nature. Like, this is, you know, we've got the tools that we need. Everything yeah. is here to live the virtuous life. And then, you know, to see Aurelius able to point to good grandparents, good mother, good father, you know, good teachers, good friends, you know, and then, you know, even my wife. My wife mm-hmm. is here to help me live the virtuous life, to live yeah. towards good. So this is a nice theme here at the end, to look to the gods and say, you know, they've not only given me a good temperament, not only given me good strength, but they've given me this community with which I have everything I need to pursue virtue.
Yeah.
If I don't pursue virtue, it's my own fault.
Yeah.
Because these people are here to help me. So.
I also like that he talks about how to operate with discreet wealth, mm-hmm. right? So I think it's the sort of thing that you see in certain pseudo-aristocratic families in the U.S. I mean, I think about, like, what I know of the George Bush family and that whole, like, main group of people who are like, there is an underlying class and sophistication, mm-hmm. but it's not high polish uppity. It's like very down to earth. Like, I can have conversations with people and it doesn't feel
yeah.
like you're putting on airs.
Right.
So anyway, good counsel all in all.
Good. Yeah.
Any other thoughts as we round out book one?
No, the very end, I think it's interesting when he says that when I became interested in philosophy, I didn't fall into the hands of charlatans, which would be the sophists, and didn't get bogged down in writing treaties or become absorbed by logic chopping or preoccupied with physics.
Hmm.
And really, I think that just for him means I was able to keep my head on the ground.
That's right.
I didn't get worried about things that were too lofty for me. I kept my 2 feet on the ground. I kept my eyes on the people that mattered. I made real decisions that made real change. I didn't get worried about a world full of fantasy.
Yeah.
And that's good.
It's good counsel.
It's good counsel.
Yeah. From a guy who would know.
Yeah.
All right. So there we are, done with the episode. You, of course, can remember to go to theviceroyproject.com if you want to find out more about what we're doing as a community. Take care.